Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Today we're going to start a new series called Choices, but really it's a series about the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but in my life, one of the biggest struggles and fears that I have is this idea of making the wrong choice. One of the biggest struggles I have is when it comes down to making decisions in life, it bothers me because I'm always afraid I'm going to make the wrong decision. And so it's one of those things that I stay up at night, I wake up early in the morning, I get a pit in my stomach because I'm always worried, right? So even if it's something like buying a car, buying a house, moving, taking a job, not taking a job, who you're going to marry, who you're going to date, all these kind of questions begin to come up, and we begin to wonder and guess, and we don't know what we're supposed to do with our life. And so we want to do a whole series trying to answer those questions of how do we make these big choices in our life. And we're going to find one scripture that's really going to lead us through that, and that scripture is found in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And here's what it says. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Now, I want you to look at this for just a second. I'm going to be willing to bet that everybody in this room would love to have more wisdom, more understanding, a little bit of counsel, some might, knowledge, and we don't know what the fear of the Lord is yet, but I'm sure you're going to want it, right? We'll talk about that one later. But I bet everybody wants wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, and knowledge, right? We all want that. That's a desire of our heart. If you're a mom today, you're probably wondering, how in the world am I going to raise these kids? You know, how do I get these kids to grow up and be good adults and live for God and make contributions? If you're trying to get a job, you're wanting to understand, I need some wisdom. You're trying to get through school, I need some understanding, I need some knowledge. And so these are areas of life that we all need. It's a problem, though, that we don't know how to get it. And we try to do all the research we want to do, and I'm one of those very practical people. I'm when it comes down to making decisions, I'm like, how do I get a budget for this? What are my cons and pros? I mean, I'm trying to get it all together. But at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, is going to help us with this. And so we want to try to figure that out. So I want to give you today, we're going to learn today about how to hear from the Holy Spirit, how to get wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And the way we're going to start today is on this understanding of how to hear Him, how to know what He's saying, how to really experience what the Holy Spirit has to say. And I'm going to give you four keys to doing that, or four steps to doing that. The first step is we have to identify with His Spirit. We have to identify with His Spirit. Another way to look at that is we have to find our identity in His Spirit, right? So go back to that verse one more time. Look at this. Before we get to any wisdom, understanding, counsel, before we get to any of that, the very first thing the Bible says, and this is a prophecy about Jesus, but we claim it for ourselves, is this. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him. Before we get to wisdom and understanding, we got to get to this understanding of the Spirit of the Lord. That's where we have to find our identity. It's not in the spirit of man. It's not in the spirit of deception. We just did a whole series on being deceived by other spirits. It's in the Spirit of the Lord that we've got to find our identity. And I want to look at Luke chapter 9, verse 55. In the New King James, the Bible says this. Jesus is getting on to His disciples, and He says this, but He turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of." In other words, Jesus is telling His disciples, y'all are trying to make decisions based on some other kind of spirit. I've got the Spirit of the Lord. I've got the Holy Spirit. I am identified with the Holy Spirit, and now every decision I try to make, every word I try to say, every action I try to do is based on my identity as being covered with and having the Holy Spirit. But you're making decisions based on some other spirit, and you don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know what you're doing. You don't know what manner of spirit you are of. And I think sometimes what we do is we get caught up in some other spirits. We get caught up in this, maybe the spirit of practicality. We get caught up in the spirit of finances. You know, I'm going to make this job decision based on how much money they're going to pay me. I'm going to make this decision based on the location. I'm going to make this decision based on how good he looks or how good she looks, right? And at the end of the day, we're basing our decisions on some other spirit, but not on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is where we find our identity. The second key is this. We've got to establish him as our guide. Establish him as our guide. We're going to move quickly through that first point and the second point to get to the third one. But I want you to look at John 16, verse 13 for a second. Now, in that verse in Isaiah 11, 2, it said the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon. That word rest there means to settle, to establish, or even to nest. If you think about a bird making a nest on your head, right? It wouldn't do real well in my head. It just kind of slide right off. But a bird making a nest is going to settle in. It's going to build it up. It's going to make a home. It's going to get nestled in. Have you ever had a kid or a dog? My wife and I, when we first got married, we had this dog named Titus. And Titus was a boxer. And he was beautiful. And he was big. And he was strong. And every time my wife and I would hug, Titus would come stick his nose in between our legs and wiggle his body until he got all the way in between us. He could not stand for she and I to be close without him in the middle. And then we had Gabriel, and then we had Emma, and then we had Colt, who we could have very easily named Titus. Because every time Perry and I tried to hug, Colt wiggles his way right in the middle. He just wants to be. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to establish himself in your life. He wants to wiggle his way and establish, nestle in, be rooted into your life. But we are the ones that have to allow that to happen. Right? So in John chapter 16, it says this. So we got to establish him as our guide. We got to say, hey, I've got the Holy Spirit, and now I'm settling on the fact that he is going to be my one and only guide. I'm not going to be guided by this magazine. I'm not going to be guided by Pastor Gabriel. I'm not going to be guided by the latest craze. I'm not going to be guided by this spirit. I'm going to be guided by the Holy Spirit. He is my guide. In John 16, 13, it says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So right off the bat, it establishes that part of his job description is to be your guide. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it tells us, how do we establish him as our guide? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Key word there is all your heart. We're not trusting in the Lord with just some of our life. We're not giving him just the things that we can't control. We're giving him everything. And do not depend on your own understanding. Verse 6, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I find it interesting that they said, seek his will in all you do. This is coming from the wisest man that ever lived, and even he recognizes the fact that you got to seek the Holy Spirit's guidance in every aspect of your life. Part of the way that we establish him, that's one way we establish him as our guide. The other way is this thing I like to call the move with the cloud attitude. Move with the cloud attitude. Now, I'm going to give you two verses here. And this one verse in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, it's one of those verses that I heard when I was younger, and it stuck with me my whole life. And this is Moses talking, and Moses and God are having this conversation. God's upset, right? Because the Israelites have come out of slavery, they've gone into the wilderness, and they're trying to get to the promised land. The problem is the Israelites are, as one of my pastors used to say, a bunch of jacklegs, right? They complain about everything. They struggle to get through anything. They're always messing up. And so God's finally tired of them. They've built this other god, this idol. They worship this idol. And God's ready to kill them all. And God told Moses, he said, I'm going to kill everybody. I'm going to kill everybody except for you. And we'll start all over with you. And Moses is like, no way, man. I'm old. I can't be doing all that. And so God says, all right, fine. We'll keep them around. But I'm not going with you. I'm too mad to even hang out with you guys, because if I go with you, I'll kill everybody. I know how I am. That's how God is. I like God. He's a lot like myself. There's times I have to tell my kids, y'all got to go in another room, because if y'all stay in here, Dad's going to get arrested. And so God says, if I go with you, I'm going to kill every one of you. And Moses said, that's fine if you don't want to go with us, but the fact is, I'm not going anywhere. Check this out. Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, God had said, I'll send an angel with you. But Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. In other words, Moses said, if you ain't going, I ain't going. Right? And we've got to get that same kind of attitude in our life. That Holy Spirit, if you're not going, I'm not going. If you're not going to this city, I'm not going to this city. If you're not going with me to this school, I'm not going to that school. If you're not going with me to this job, I'm not going to that job. I will stay right here until you go somewhere and I'll follow you. Look at the next verse I've got for you out of Numbers chapter 9. It says, when the cloud... Now in those days, the Israelites were guided by a cloud during the day. So this big cloud would come, and this cloud would settle over a place, and that's where they're supposed to be. And they followed the cloud. But look at what it says. Whenever the cloud lifted from the sacred tent, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. And whenever the cloud settled, or wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. Follow the cloud. In other words, what they would do is they see the cloud get up, everybody starts packing their bags. And the cloud moves. They're following the cloud. They might follow the cloud for a day. They might follow the cloud for 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, 10 days. But wherever the cloud stopped, they set their tents right back up. And they would live there. They might live there for a month. They might live there for a year. They might live there for 5 days. But as soon as that cloud goes back up, they pack all their stuff up. I think sometimes we've got the mentality that's just the opposite of that. We say, God, I'm going to go do some stuff and I expect you to come with me. But in reality, we've got to have a follow the cloud mentality. That means that wherever you go, that's where I'm going to go. And I'm not going anywhere unless you're going with me. I'm not going to go over there unless you're following along with me personally, with me, leading the way, guiding me. We've got to establish Him as our guide. We've got to identify ourselves with Him and then establish Him as our guide. And let me just back up for just a second on identifying ourselves with the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes what we do is we get a little bit embarrassed about God. And so we don't want to tell people that God helped me make this decision. Someone will say, why'd you take that job? Oh, well, you know, it was just I felt like it was a good thing for me to do. One of the things I'm really proud of my wife, she's not skipping out on Mother's Day. She's next door doing kids. But one of the things I love about my wife is she was working a job at a school and doing a great job at this school. Had been there for 8 years and was doing wonderful there. But she felt like the Holy Spirit was telling her it was time to move. And then she got a job offer at another school. And when she got that job offer, she prayed about it, wasn't sure about it, didn't feel right about it, turned it down. Well, they end up calling her back. And she had told me, whenever she turned them down, she said, I think I should have taken the job. And I said, well, baby, if they want you to have the job, if God wants you to have the job, He'll open the door back up. And she said, you don't understand, you know, this school system, they don't just open it. Once you reject them, you're done. And I said, well, God's bigger than that school system. And so, sure enough, a month later, they called her back and they said, look, we can't get you off of our minds. We want you to be one of our teachers. And so she said, okay, give me a couple days to pray about it. And we knew that was God. And so she took the job. Well, the cool thing about it is people begin to ask her, why did you change schools? You had a good job. There must have been something wrong at your old school. Nope, God told me to change schools. People at our new school, why did you come here? Everything was going well for you over there. God told me, and it began to open up doors. Why? Because she identified with the Holy Spirit as her guide. She established Him as her guide. She identified. She wasn't embarrassed of the fact that God told her to do something. The next thing we've got to do, the third key in, or step, is that we've got to know His voice. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. Some versions say, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We've got to know the voice of God. And so what I want to do is be very practical for just a minute, and I'm going to give you a few ways to know the voice of God. Now, was it last summer already? It's been last summer that we did the whole series on Wednesday night about knowing the voice of the Lord. It feels like that was just a few weeks ago, but it was last summer. We did a whole series during our Wednesday night prayer group about knowing the voice of God. And if you ever want to know more about this, maybe more details on what I'm going to give you today, talk to Sherry Queen. She's in charge of our prayer ministry, and she can help you with a lot of this stuff. But today, we're going to just be very basic in general. But one of the ways that we can know the voice of the Lord is by His Word. just the simple fact of reading the Word of God. And if you will take the time every day to just read the Word of God, you don't have to read a whole book. You just got to read something. Just put yourself in the place. Just give yourself an opportunity for success. And God will speak to you through His Word. As you read His Word, I call it jumping off the page. As you read His Word, there are going to be things in that Word that feel like they are jumping off the page at you. That you just have to have that. And sometimes, there's times whenever I'm reading God's Word and I don't understand why something stands out to me, but I write it down anyway. I jot it down, I put it in my phone, and I just kind of shelve it for a while. And inevitably, eventually, something will come up and it'll draw me back to that one thing that God was saying that I didn't understand at the time, but I understand it now. You got to read God's Word. And if you struggle reading God's Word, listen to God's Word. Do whatever you can to get God's Word inside of you. I think that's something we struggle with as Christians, especially in the South, is we think that going to church is getting the Word of God, and it's not. It's not. It's you getting something regurgitated, right? I mean, you don't want to live your whole life on what I regurgitate to you. That's gross, right? Like baby birds sit there and their mama throws up in their mouth. That's weird. I don't know why God did it like that, but He did. Eventually, those baby birds get out of the nest and fly and get their own food. And that's what we got to learn to do is consume the Word of God as much as we can, get as much of His Word inside of us, because it gives us more opportunity for Him to speak to us. The second way that God speaks to us is by quickening. And I know that's a weird word. That's probably an old word we don't use very often. But I want you to think of the word quickening as a reminder. As a reminder. How many of you use Siri? You got iPhone, you use Siri in here. Okay, Jonathan, look around. There was like four people raised their hands, so you got to get on them. Jonathan is the world's most annoying iPhone user. Because it doesn't matter what we're doing. If we're sitting around and I'm like, hey, man, don't forget, you know, tomorrow we're going to go get hot dogs or whatever. Jonathan's like, Siri, set a reminder tomorrow, 2 p.m., get hot dogs with Gabriel. I'm like, it's not that serious. You know, like, Siri, set a reminder, brush my teeth, 10 p.m. You know, it's like, come on, man, really? I hate it. I hate listening to him do it, and I hate doing it myself. And sometimes I do it, and then these reminders just start popping up on my phone all the time. All the time. Siri does not stop. And most of the time, I don't know how to stop the reminder. So I'm still getting reminded about stuff from 3 months ago because I don't know how to make it stop reminding me. Stop talking to me. But look at what the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 26. But when the Father sends Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will what? Remind you of everything I've told you. So what is a quickening? A quickening is a reminder. A quickening is a reminder. There are going to be times in your life when you're going through and you have already read God's Word, and God spoke to you, but you forgot about it because that was a year ago. Or you didn't think anything about it because it didn't seem like it was very much. But now you're in a situation and all of a sudden a verse just pops into your head. And you're thinking, I haven't read that verse in a long time. All of a sudden a song pops into your head. All of a sudden a conversation you had with somebody pops into your head. What was that? Why was that? Why did that happen? And especially whenever you know it was necessary for that situation. You're sitting in front of a boss and you're trying to talk to this boss about something, and all of a sudden a situation pops into your head. What is it? It's called a quickening, and it's the Holy Spirit reminding you of stuff. It's just like on your phone. It just pops up at the right moment. There are times you can tell Siri to pop up something whenever you enter a building or a location or leave a location, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. Is there's moments in your life that the Holy Spirit is watching out for you. He is guiding you. He is directing you. And how does He speak to you? By bringing something to your remembrance, a reminder. So if you ever have that happen, so we read God's Word, and then He reminds us through a quickening. Another way that He speaks to us is by leading. Leading. And what a leading is that's like a green light. A leading is being led somewhere. It's an okay. It's a green light that is good for you to go. there's a bunch of different verses. Matthew 4:1 says Jesus was led by the Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit leads you into certain situations. There's going to be times in your life whenever you are trying to make decisions and you don't know which one to make, right? But you just feel really good about one of these decisions. And you're thinking, I don't know why I feel good about this. The money is wrong, the time is wrong, the location is wrong, but I feel really good about this. Everything from perspective looks like it would be wrong, but I feel good about this. It might be the Holy Spirit leading you. Matthew 4:1, it says the Holy Spirit led Jesus. Where? Into the wilderness. Not a good place. It didn't lead him into the promised land. It didn't lead him into paradise. It led him into a bad spot, but it was a bad spot he needed to be in. There's going to be times when the Holy Spirit's going to lead you places, and don't be afraid to be led by the Holy Spirit, even if it's not in the location or the situation that you think is best. Just because you think it's best doesn't mean it's best. So there's a leading. There's another one that's just the opposite of that. It's called a check. It's called a check. A check in your spirit. It's on the inside. It's a, uh-oh, something's not right here. Have you ever been in one of those situations? We call it a red light. Have you ever been in one of those situations? You walk into a room and you're just like, ooh, I don't like this. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what was happening before I got in here. But whatever it is, I don't need to be here. And you just walk right back out, right? What is that? That's the Holy Spirit stopping you, saying, red light. You know, you remember that old game, red light, green light? I hated that game. Red light, he's saying, stop. No. Whatever it is that you're doing, don't do it. You know, we can't be here. We can't do this. And sometimes whenever we are doing stuff, there's things that we're doing. And people ask me all the time about all these stupid things where, well, Pastor, is this a sin or is this a sin? You know, I always get those questions. And my best answer for you on what is a sin and what is not a sin is this right here. Leading and checks. Green lights and red lights. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about it? If you do something that you think might be a sin and you get a little check in your spirit about it, stop doing it. Because here's the thing. If you keep ignoring the leading and the checks, if you keep ignoring those eventually, and we'll get into this in a minute, he'll just stop talking to you. And we'll get into that in a second. In Acts chapter 16, just skip Acts 16. I don't know if I put it in there because I'm going to use that again in just a minute. Another one, and this is the last one that we're going to use for today. Again, there could be other ways that God speaks to you, but the last one we're going to use today is dreams, visions, and prophecy. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And look, these are going to seem, I know for some people that are just coming to church or just getting started in church, that seems a little weird and out there, dreams, visions, and prophecies. But I want to explain them to you real quickly. Joel 2:28 says, then after doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people, right? Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Let me just put it to you like this. Think of it as pictures and videos. Think of it very simply. A vision is like a dream you have when you're awake. A dream is like a dream you have when you're asleep. Right? Dreams, visions. God will speak to you through your dreams and visions. Now, I don't get a whole lot of visions like you read about in the Bible where I see a, you know, man come in and he's talking to me about stuff and he's showing me the end of the world. Never got one of those. But there have been times when I've been praying for somebody or talking to somebody and a picture will pop into my head that I would not normally have thought of. And I will say something to that person, and most of the time I try to be very smart about it, and I'll say, hey, look, I don't know if this is God or not, but this random picture just popped into my head, or this random thought just popped in my head, and I feel like it might be for you, and I'll talk to him about it. There was one time I was praying with somebody one time, and as I'm praying with them, this is going to sound so stupid to everybody in the room because it sounded stupid to me. Okay, and I'm the one that got it. And as I'm praying for this person, do y'all remember those sea monkeys? The little pills you drop in the water and then they melt and it like swells up into some little foam animal or whatever it was. Y'all remember those? I was praying for this person one time and I said, this is going to sound super random, but I just saw, like in my brain, I just saw a sea monkey. And I said it was like hit the water and it just expanded in your life. And I said, I feel like God might be saying to you that His Word is like that, that it's going into your life, small, but it's going to expand in your life as you continue to get into His Word. And I'm thinking the whole time, why didn't I say seed? Like, that makes way more sense and doesn't sound nearly as weird, because a seed goes in small and grows. And this woman said to me later, she said, I said, look, was that stupid? I'm so sorry that I used sea monkeys, but I just felt like that's what I was supposed to say. And she said, no. She said, you don't understand. I was just talking with somebody, and we were talking about remembering the old days when we used to play with sea monkeys. And she said, if you would have said anything else, it may not have made as much sense, but when you said sea monkeys, it was confirmation that God was speaking to me. I was like, whoa, that's weird and crazy and wild, and I love it, but please don't make me say sea monkeys all the time. So visions, and God has used dreams. There's been times when I've dreamed, and not every dream is from God. I promise you that. Please don't come to me telling me all of your dreams. I don't like it when my kids do it to me. I don't like it when I do it to my wife and she rolls her eyes. Not all dreams are from God, but you will know when a dream is from God. You will know. There have been certain times, I can probably tell you maybe 10 times in my life, where I know there was a dream that I got from God. And I'm one of those cats that dreams every night, like 50 times a night. They're all crazy movies. But there's only a handful of them that have actually been from God. And oftentimes they're warnings telling me, hey, something's going on that you need to deal with in your life or in the church. So dreams. And then prophecy. A lot of times when people hear the word prophecy, they think of the Old Testament prophets that stand up and speak gloom and doom over everybody. But really, prophecy is just hearing a word from God. And the way that we view prophecy here a lot of times is that prophecy should be confirmation to you of something God's already saying. So a prophecy might come from me to you, but that shouldn't be the first time you heard that word. God should have already spoken to you through His Word, through quickening, through leading, through checks, through dreams, through visions. And then lastly, He speaks to you through a prophecy where it's just confirmation. It is me saying something to you and you're saying, God already told me that. That just confirms it. Right? And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us and helps us. I want to show you quickly in Acts chapter 16 how it all comes together, how some of these all work together, that it's not just one way, but it's multiple ways. Paul is a missionary and he's on his journey to tell everybody about Jesus. And look at what happens in Acts 16 verse 6. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia, okay, and Galatia, because the Holy Spirit, check this out, had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Isn't that crazy? These guys are trying to tell people about Jesus, and what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit prevents them. Check. Don't go there. Red light, right? So what's the next verse say? Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of, man, they go some crazy places. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow, right? He did not allow them to go there. Red light, go to the next verse. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Look at some of the things that are happening. They get a red light, they get a vision, and then what do? They conclude. I like how they're not so definite about it. I like how they don't go in saying, and God told us, bless God, we're going to this place. No, He didn't. He stopped you. We've got this thing called a Roomba in our house. Y'all know what a Roomba is? It's basically a lazy vacuum cleaner, right? It means I can vacuum my house without actually having to do anything. I just press a button and it runs around my house. Well, our Roomba is not a smart Roomba. Our Roomba is a dumb Roomba, okay? It costs $200 more to get a smart Roomba where you can program it on your phone and tell it what to do and all this kind of stuff. Ours just has a sensor on the front, and when it bangs into something, it turns around and goes the other way, right? It's just a dumb, it just, okay, we'll go this way now. And sometimes we're kind of like that too. God has to say, I'm going to block you from coming in here. Oh, I'm going to block you. And we just hit it and we bounce off and we hit it and we bounce off. And He just keeps blocking us until we get to the place He wants us to go. And then He gave Paul a vision and the Bible says we just concluded. We just figured. We're trying to make a choice here. We're trying to figure out which way to go, and we don't know which way to go, and we keep hitting our head everywhere we go, and we get this rando vision about some guy in Macedonia, so we just figured, hey, Holy Spirit's speaking through us to us in multiple different ways. Let's just go that way. See how that works? It's not as complicated or as spooky as we make it out to be sometimes. When people come up to you and they say, the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to drive down this side of the road, that's great. Chances are he didn't come down in a cloud and a voice and thunder and lightning and tell them. Chances are he just led them and guided them and directed them. But we make it sound so big when really it's really normal. And it should be normal for God to speak to us. The fourth step today, and this is where we're getting to the end, is don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing you will be saved at the day of redemption. Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Don't bring sorrow. How do we bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit? He says, by the way we live, right? Here's the key that I want you to see. It's what we said earlier. The more we ignore him, the less he's going to speak to us. That grieves him. If we ignore him, he's not going to continue to talk to us. Another problem that we have is distractions and interruptions. I don't know about you, but I hate to be interrupted. I hate it when I'm trying to tell a story. And y'all know I like to talk. When I'm trying to tell a story and then I keep getting interrupted by people, you know what I do? I usually just quit telling the story. I just stop. And I say, I'll tell it when you're ready to listen, but right now I'm not gonna talk if you're gonna keep interrupting me. I know that sounds petty, but I don't like it. I don't like it whenever I'm trying to talk to somebody and they got the TV turned up so loud that they can't hear me and I can't hear myself think and they're still wanting to talk to me. I can't do it. It's too much distraction. And what we do is we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. We say, I identify with you and I want you to be my guide and I want to know your voice. But every time he tries to talk to us, we're constantly distracted, we're constantly interrupting, or we're constantly ignoring the things that he tells us. So why would he keep talking to us? I want to read to you a quote that I got from a guy named Charles Spurgeon. It says this, and I thought this was interesting. This is written, I don't know, back in the 1800s, I think, or early 1900s. But it still applies today. It says, I think I now see the Spirit of God grieving. When you are sitting down to read a novel, and there is your Bible unread. You have no time for prayer, but the Spirit sees you very active about worldly things. And having many hours to spare for relaxation and amusement. And then he is grieved because he sees that you love worldly things better than you love him. He is grieved with us mainly for our own sakes, for he knows what misery sin will cost us. He reads our sorrows and our sins. He grieves because he sees how much discipline we incur and how much relationship we lose. I want to end today with this final thought, and that is we need to find life in the Spirit. And this is where I want to close the message out today, and we're going to pray for you. Because what happens a lot of times is we hear all this good stuff about hearing the Holy Spirit, knowing his voice, and dreams and visions, and it all sounds really good. Except there's some of us in the room, and we feel like we've done too much wrong stuff. We feel like we've grieved the Holy Spirit one too many times. Sometimes we feel like our sin has disqualified us from ever hearing the voice of God. Maybe we feel like God is only going to lead us into bad places, or he's not going to lead us at all. And I just want to show you something real quick. And I don't even have the verse, Kim, I don't think, unless you want to try to pull it up. And that's Isaiah 11:1. But the verse before, the verse we use as our key verse for this whole series, in Isaiah chapter 10, the Bible says that God came through and he chopped down Israel like trees. He came in chopping everything down like trees. And so all you got is a bunch of stumps everywhere. Have you ever had a bunch of trees cut? You got all these dead stumps everywhere. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, he identifies somebody that he's going to raise up. And here's what it says. Out of the stump, of David's family will grow a shoot, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. In other words, God looks down and He may see a stump, and what you may feel like your life is like a dead stump. I've been cut off from God. I've done too many wrong things. I've sinned too much. I've made too many mistakes. There's no way God is going to speak to me and give me direction and lead me and guide me. But I want you to look at this. Out of the stump, out of a place that's been cut down, out of something that's dead, I'm going to grow brand new life. And it's going to produce fruit, even from an old root. Can I tell you something today? The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Jesus wants relationship with you today. And you may feel like you're dead. You may feel dried up. You may feel like you're just a stump. But there's still roots in the ground. There's still information in your brain that God has deposited there. And God can draw life out of what was once dead. And today He wants to do that in you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.